Ah, there you are, staring at me. I go staring at me. And then at it. I go on Gie the Toe Rub. Everyone else does. Generations of tourists, students and mildly hungover philosophers have polished that bronze digit to a blinding sheen. You think it brings luck? I think it brings fungal infection, but far be it from me to argue with tradition. Who am I? Well, I'm David Hume, philosopher, essayist, occasional diplomat and full-time sceptic. I was born screaming into this world at 1711 and I died, as we all do, at 1776. So that makes me, oh, let me think now. I was 55 when I passed on, when I left. I shed my mortal coil, as it would say. Same year, though, as the Americas broke up with Britain and Adam Smith published The Wealth of Nations. He called it progress. I call it just bad timing. Anyway, I'll warn you early. I was never much fun at parties. I mean, come on. People would say, David, do you believe in God? And I'd reply, define believe. And they'd say, do you believe in ghosts? And I'd say, define existence. And after a while, they stopped inviting me, which suited me fine. I prefer books to banter, less small talk and fewer hangovers. But look around you. Every day people pass by my statue, rub the toe and make a wish. Gee whiz. A wish. I, the man who dismantled miracles with polite precision, am now a vending machine for superstitions. If irony had any mass, my plinth would have sunk into the Royal Mile by now. You see, I spent my whole life questioning certainty. Cause and effect, I said, aren't guaranteed. They're habits of thought. Think about that. They're not guaranteed, they're habits of thought. You see, as a good example, the sun rises every day and you expect the same tomorrow. But that's not logic. That's optimism. The universe owes you nothing, my friend. Not even a refund. So what did I believe? Well, that reason is the servant of passion. We think we're rational creatures, but we're more like lawyers hired by emotions to justify whatever nonsense we've already decided to do. Love, war, shopping, same logic, different hats. For example, you don't buy the coffee because it's the best value. You buy it because it smells like competence and self-respect. And then that's my contribution to modern marketing. We purchase our feelings pre-packaged. And yet, I'm forever quoted by economists like my dear friend Adam Smith. You meet him down the mile. He adored reason, but even he had a sentimental side. You know, I told him once, Adam, the invisible hand you keep talking about might just be wishful thinking. You know what he said? He said, David, so might your entire philosophy. And he walked off in the distance laughing to himself. Yeah. Fair point, though. We agreed to disagree. And, we ordered more wine. I like to have a few drinks, me and Adam, way back in the day. Anyway, I did try my hand at history. I tried. The History of England, all six volumes. Took me 20 years to write it. Now, most readers, right, skip straight to the Civil War bits and ignore the rest. You'd think after dismantling causality, I'd have realised narrative structure wasn't my strength. But still, it sold better than my little philosophy ever did. The moral of the story is, even sceptics need royalties. Now, I'm aware I sound like the patron saint of pessimism, but really, I'm not anti-belief. I'm anti-blindness. I wanted people to notice their assumptions, to peer behind the curtain before applauding the wizard. I mean, think of me as an enlightened plumber, fixing links in reason, clearing blockages of superstition, and occasionally flooding the kitchen. Oh well, there you go. Still, sitting here for centuries gives one perspective. I've watched festivals rise and fall, students grow from idealists to consultants, and entire tour groups confuse me, would you credit it, confuse me with Socrates. He's Greek, my darling, you know, he's not just old, but Greek. And every August, a busker outside performs Wonderwall across the street so loudly I can practically recite the lyrics backwards. It's not what I meant by the empirical method, but it does test my patience. You know, I sometimes wonder what would happen if all the statues along the Mile could argue again. Smith was in Invisible Markets. Knox yelling scripture, Bruce polishing his ego, Wallace polishing his sword. The din would be glorious, and maybe that's what keeps the Royal Mile humming. Many of our statues debating and echoing our voices underneath the bagpipes. And maybe, just maybe, that's the proof I was wrong. That ideas do persist beyond the minds that forge them. That even scepticism can become myth if it makes people think twice before they shout once. So go on then. Hope you rubbed the toe. Not because it grants wishes, but it's because it connects you to a chain of thinkers who refuse to stop asking why. Rub it not for luck, but for curiosity. And if it brings neither, at least it'll give the pigeon something shiny to focus on instead of your heed. Before you go, though, here's one last paradox. Further down the road, down the Royal Mile, you'll meet Adam Smith, and he'll tell you markets run on self-interest. Ask him whether, though, my toe is an example of such. Tens of thousands of people acting out of private superstition, and somehow the collective act polishes a public monument. A perfect example of unintended order. The invisible hand meets the very visible toe. Think of that as the Enlightenment handshake. And remember, doubt isn't the enemy of wonder. It's the invitation. Now off you go. There's philosophy to live, not just to listen to. And please, remember, please bring some hand sanitizer.